are the Week 4 Fantastics Fantasy Preview. We're back with you, Dan Klaskins, James Adams, the Fantastics Insider Football Podcast, our 50th episode, which really sort of blows my mind. We've already been slapping our gums together that long, but if you're new, welcome. We love our new subscribers. If you're loyal, you're our favorite ones, the ones listening. You can always catch us wherever you subscribe, including InsiderFootball.com, and that's where you can get all the tools to win. Here we are, James. I mean, Week 4, that sounds funny to even say right now, but dude, we have reached 3 weeks down, and it's like every week I think I get a little more confused about things.
Well, I don't feel like I'm too confused, because if you remember, I told you I didn't feel good about any one single survivor choice that I had to make. And between myself and my mother, we had three surviving entries, two survived to this point. So I was already confused last week.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so confused last week that what happened didn't confuse me, because I truly had come to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, expect the unexpected. You want to talk about Survivor. In my 16-team DAV Ballers League, we have like a side Survivor pool with all of us. And you even get like a second chance. After 3 weeks, our entire pool is over. 11-way tie this week. And the crappy part is I had the Bengals set there. But when I switched my big money survivor pick to the Bengals, I switched that one to the Chiefs. So I'd have just left it alone. Either way, let's not get too deep into that, James. Our problems are good problems, right? I mean, the Who Days won, I said last week. And we're actually coming a day early here this week for our people that catch us normally. We are coming at you a day early. Part of that's because we're going to be going to that magnificent AFC battle on Thursday night there as the Bengals white out things, hosting the Dolphins. So we're going to look at that matchup, all the matchups here, as we do every week, your first sneak peek. But first, we've got to get in to some of our final takes from Week 3, look at some of that injury news. Before we get out of here, we will definitely make our Thrive Fantasy picks and tell you about the great deal going on over there. But James, let's start with some of the injuries, lots of them this week. And again, we'll start just sort of running through the positions. And we got to start here, man, with Mac Jones. I mean, holy cow, talk about something that just looked terrible watching on TV. It was him limping off the field. We now know he's gonna miss some significant time here. I mean, it's a sort of a guessing game, but 4 to 6 weeks minimum, you would think. Brian Hoyer time here. I don't know. Not that the Pats offense was all that dynamic to begin with, but what's the fantasy ripple effects of this?
Well, Brian Hoyer, I heard just before we got going here, has lost 11 consecutive starts in a row. It's the longest active streak. So if you're hoping he's going to come in and turn these 1-2 Pats around, that's probably not the answer. My thoughts are the offense wasn't going great. I mean, I guess my initial thought is, oh, Jacoby Myers had to sit out this week, and Devontae Parker comes in and he absolutely lit it up on any benches I had. Fortunately, best ball, I had a ton. But now my thoughts are, does that mean anything? I don't know that it means anything with a change of quarterback now.
Yeah. All things to consider. And of course, the other injury, I mean, last week we saw it was Garoppolo coming in, and we thought that was all right looking until we watched it last Sunday night. And so good news on the injury front. Zach Wilson does appear on track to return next week, of this according to Adam Schefter. So definitely somebody to look at it in these quarterback needy spots, because, I mean, we do see the weapons they have there in New York. Wilson's a guy I know you're a little optimistic on, holding out hope, especially in these super flex spots and things where you're a little deeper. But let's move to running back, and a couple big ones there. Dalvin Cook's hurt again. Go figure, James. Shoulder dislocation. According to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, it does sound like it's an injury he's had before. We know he's worn a harness. He's going to try to play through it. James, here we go again. Alexander Mattison, suddenly a popular name in the few leagues where he was dropped, but Dalvin Cook injured again.
It's probably Madison. Just remember, there was some murmurs about Ty Chandler before the season started, so some conversation that maybe Madison wasn't the right fit, and I know he's been okay, but just keep that in mind too, depending on how deep your league goes and how far down the wire you're looking.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Dalvin can play through it. I don't have a lot of him on my fantasy rosters. I mean, some best ball stuff, but that is what it is. Another off injured running back injured again, DeAndre Swift. And I mean, James, they're talking about him not using the left arm in the locker room after the game. We know he had some treatment on it. He's already dealing with an ankle issue here. I mean, lots of things popping up. Jamal Williams is ganking his touchdowns even when everything's good here. But this will be a situation to monitor, as will the one in Buffalo where David Montgomery could have had a huge day, except he got hurt early. And now Khalil Herbert did have a big day. I don't know what, but right now it looks like it's a day-to-day thing, week-to-week. I don't know. Is he back this week? I'm assuming Montgomery is in here, but dang, Herbert looks so good. If he's on the waiver wire, how much emphasis are you putting on Khalil Herbert?
Gosh, I mean, he did look good, right? I would say you have to have some serious interest in him as one of those maybe RB2s moving forward. I think you'd have to think 15. If you have David Montgomery, you might well need to be starting to think about 25% of your fab. Right, because you're supposed to have a handcuff to him. I don't know if Montgomery was a guy you were.
I mean, Herbert was probably drafted in a lot of leagues, but I noticed even in a couple of my season longs, he was dumped after he had no touches in week two.
Yep.
And there he is. Yeah. So
10% to 15% if you're
in my 10 team leaguer, Jamal Williams was still sitting out there before the week. And we have two tight end. That's two tight end, two quarterback setups. I'm sort of trying to stack those positions in my limited bench spots, as are many. But man, I'm like, I wish I had picked up Jamal Williams in that league instead of having James Cook sitting there right about now. But I don't know about Swift, but it's like the usual suspects here. Swift, mm-hmm. Cook, now Montgomery's hurt. Hopefully it's not as big of an issue for any of these guys, but things we'll have to monitor throughout the week here. At receiver, it was Michael Thomas. Speaking of a familiar name, hurt. He suffered a toe injury. Jarvis Landry also injured his ankle in the game. The Saints offense, I mean, Kamara, we'll get into that in good vibe, bad vibe here, but the fact that Michael Thomas is hurt again is not a surprise here. I'll tell you, the one good thing came out of all this was the 13 targets went Chris Olave's way, because that kid's going to be special.
Yeah, and it's his time now. I mean, the one thing you have to worry about is how bad the Saints looked. I know that they did give up a touchdown offensively to the defense for Carolina, but in a game where I thought the Saints were going to go in and steamroll, they did absolutely nothing of the nature. So I'm worried about that team as a whole. But yeah, I think Olave, you're absolutely right. I think from this point forward, I'd be surprised if he doesn't lead that team in targets. And obviously injuries are playing a factor into that, but they probably even shouldn't.
Yeah, I'm totally with you there. So that's really the biggest injury news. There's other situations, obviously, we'll talk about throughout the weekend when we get to our Saturday show there on SiriusXM Fantasy. But, James, let's just sort of give some final takes, close the books on week three, as we always do, some good vibes, some bad vibes, things that just really stick out. I mean, it was a wacky week. We talked about it even before the games. It's like, man, I like way too many road teams, and that always ends up interesting. But I mean, let me start. I mean, I already sort of gave it out there, but I mean, Chris Olave is definitely a good vibe for me. He finishes wide receiver 6. And I mean, you're looking at a player that not only is just doing it on the Saints, but his 22.3 average yards depth of target, that leads the NFL among wide receivers with at least 15 targets. So we talked about it earlier in the season, James. Winston, that big arm ability, Olave with what he could bring. We're seeing it come to life here in the first month of the season. That gets me really excited. I don't have a lot of good vibes coming out of New Orleans right now, but the rookie is one of them.
Dan, I've got some good vibes coming out of Florida. Let me take you back to a little trip we took a month and a half ago or so. We were in Canton, and on Friday evening, as the hour grew late, the conversation grew to late round draft picks. And do you remember who I was espousing as one of my favorite sleeper picks coming out of Duval County in Jacksonville? If you don't, I'll fill in the blanks for you. It is 10 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown for Zay Jones. I'm having good vibes about Zay Jones. I'm having good vibes about those 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguars that went on the road and beat up those vaunted Super Bowl contending LA Chargers. T-Law, Trevor Lawrence, 262, no picks, 3 touchdowns. James Robinson, 100 yards on the ground. Dude, I wasn't saying that I thought the Jags were really going to go and win this game Sunday or Saturday when we did our SiriusXM show. And I said, hey, watch out, that could be a sneaky fun game. I didn't really think I was serious when I said they could win. You got to be having massive good vibes about them Jags right now.
Not looking too bad. not looking too bad at all. And, you know, let's just keep the good vibes going. You sort of stole one of my good vibes I was going to have, which was James Robinson. Mm. And not just him, but how about dudes recovering from Achilles injuries? Because there's two of them in your top 12 at RB this week. James Robinson with his 17 for 100 and a touch. And how about Cam Akers? Oh, I thought he was dead, James. Wasn't he dead?
He was. I mean, he absolutely didn't.
I mean, he came back to life, but then he fumbled again. So now he might be dead again. But either way, like, you got glimpses that the guy's not done, is my point. So a lot of people out there pounding them chests after the first 2 weeks and rolling out Henderson as their lock RB2s. They didn't get very rewarded in that game. But I'll say this, James Robinson, Cam Akers, both as RB1s in week three. I'd say the Achilles injuries, maybe not the excuse. Now, Cam Akers fumbling, Sean McVay, you know, giving him not the opportunities, getting in the doghouse. These could all be things that suck, but I think I'm feeling pretty optimistic about his ability to overcome that injury.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. And again, I all that says to me is that's a backfield I'm going to continue to avoid for more.
Didn't say it was going to be fantasy goodness. Let's get get to some more, is what I was just going to say.
Yeah, I got some more good vibes. I got some bad vibes. I got them all. I'll give you another good vibe while we're staying positive. I got to say, after the beginning of the season, Dameon Pierce had kind of scared me. He had just so much hype in the preseason. But we've seen it now. He had a nice workload 2 weeks ago. He actually hits pay dirt this week in week three, gets 20 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown. I know we had talked about so much for Rex Burkhead, and I do think for the most part that's true. Now, Burkhead had four catches, but Dameon Pierce had two catches too for another 21 yards. So good vibes on the rookie. It is just another lesson in, hey, if you didn't have a hot start from your rookie, remember they're rookies and give them a little chance before you cut bait.
Amen to that. I'll give you one more good vibe. How about just the entire Philadelphia Eagles right now? I mean, is there a team that is better in the NFC? I don't think so. I don't think so. Their defense has already been good. They've got a great offensive line, a great defensive line. Hurts is looking legit, even as a passer. And, dude, when Devontae Smith is wide receiver one, and your big man A.J. Brown is still wide receiver 12 on the week, and Dallas Goedert is still what he is. I mean, granted, they didn't get a lot of other running backs this week, but, you know, roll your dice with your Eagles running backs. My point is, though, is this team's elite, man. They're a fun team to watch. They're a fun team to bet, and I'm really wishing I had more shares of all of them. And I'm glad I got the shares of the guys I did, because I certainly did have a lot of exposure to Philadelphia across my draft. So, James, they're legit. And right now, man, I'd like to change that 49ers preseason Super Bowl pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, please.
I mean, good vibes. They were my streamer defense if you could find them, because they weren't available across the board. But yeah, good vibes, Dan. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't give me bad vibes about Carson Wentz. I told you coming into this game, I didn't think the Commanders had a chance to keep even. My only mistake was not making the Eagles my unanimous survivor pick instead of trying to make it spread it apart.
All right, let's get to some bad vibes, and I'll let you start with a couple of yours.
I mean, in the end, I was wrong when I told somebody that they should start Joe Flacco over Tom Brady, but how wrong was I? I mean, Flacco produced four scoring opportunities for his offense. Tom Brady, boy, did he look awful. I know they scored three times, two field goals, and then the six-pointer that they didn't get the two-point. I'm not even going to throw Tom Brady under the bus for the lack of awareness, which is something you'd never hear anyone say about Tom Brady. I'll give him a pass on that two-point conversion they didn't get snapped in time, because you have some hoopla going on after you score the touchdown that pseudo gets you into that tie situation, or the thought anyway. But I get it. No Mike Evans. Well, that's his own fault. You got to control your emotions. No Julio Jones. This is a story we've told before. Chris Godwin, look, I mean, he's not hurt with the same injury he had, but he started the year hurt. We knew Tom Brady was going to be lacking some weapons. Gage looked okay at times, but bad vibes, Tom Brady. Dude, Tom Brady is an absolute bench warmer in fantasy football right now.
Yeah, how about bad vibes for the 49ers offense too? Especially, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo looked terrible. You saw right in front of your eyes why they were ready to move on and turn the page to Trey Lance. And James, that really hurts the whole thing. I mean, at Denver is not an easy assignment. I'll give him that. But I mean, Kittle, I mean, he looked pedestrian out there. He clearly is not 100%. It seems like, is there a team that gets hurt more? It seems that it doesn't seem like the 49ers just ravished by injuries every single season?
They were last year.
I don't know. But either way, they suck right now. I don't want any part of this passing game. I mean, yeah, Debo, you can stick him in because he is their whole offense. And, I mean, Jeff Wilson's a boring flex play at best. But,
yep.
I mean, this team sucks, dude. And I don't think it's going to change anytime soon.
I'm with you. And I'll give you another one of my bad vibes that I hate to go to because I feel pretty good about those, mid rounds, like, you know, the third to sixth round PPR receivers that I was gobbling up nonstop all draft season. I feel really good about most of them, but I can tell you there's one that I just cannot feel good about anymore, and it's DJ Moore. And my goodness, Dan, I mean, it was supposed to get better. And my worry wasn't that they were going to play the Saints and, you know, not be able to move the ball on offense too much. I figured they'd be behind and have to sling the football. Well, in the end, Baker Mayfield still threw the ball 25 times. The problem is he only had 12 completions. No Carolina receiver had more than two catches. Yeah, LaVisca, I guess you can get excited about his 90 yards and his touchdown. DJ Moore, one catch, 2 yards. Carolina Panthers won, Dan, so I can't be too upset in that regard that it didn't fit the game plan, but they're 1-2, and DJ Moore, their best receiver, has been largely absent from entireties of their game.
I got a bad vibe. How about Brandon Cooks? I mean, the guy is getting a free pass right now. Yeah, I mean, the target volume's been there. I mean, 12 targets first week, 10 second weeks. Last week, just 7. But, dude, he finished with 2 for 22. He hasn't scored yet this season. That shouldn't be a surprise. He only scored in 5 of the 17 games a year ago. But, I mean, he's doing nothing right now. I mean, here's a guy in PPR that's cracked double digits once all year, and he's still a guy that you're trying to put in there as your wide receiver, too. James, we get questions on him all the time. I'm like, oh, yeah, Cooks. It's not there right now with Mills. All those sleeper receivers and the Mills is this stash and best ball late, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they have no passing game. It is all the run game. And Brandon Cooks, bad vibes on him moving forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's actually a guy I had a pretty decent number of shares of, too. And his isn't hurting as bad as DJ Moore, I guess, because I bet that over on DJ Moore's 4.5 touchdowns. Silly me.
Yep. All right. Well, let's move along. Let's get to the waiver wire. Let's turn it from all this negativity into hopefully some optimism out here. And I think a quarterback in shallower spots, you already hit on a name. I luckily scraped up before last week. Unfortunately, I didn't start him. But Trevor Lawrence, James, coming off that big game, definitely you can just see the difference with Doug Peterson. You already alluded to that in the beginning of the show. We're liking that Jags offense. If he's not out there, though, Zach Wilson's out there. Let's say it's Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett. They're sort of all sitting out there. If these are the three guys between them, which one would you be more inclined to go with?
Probably Zach Wilson. I mean, Mariota is certainly appealing too because that team's going to be bad and playing from behind. Mariota can get you some scrambling yards. Not as many as you might think, but he can get you some. That's going to give you a little help. He's got some great weapons, too. But that's the reason I probably like Zach Wilson. It's the reason I thought Flacco was a better play than Brady this week, is the weapons around Flacco. Zach Wilson. I mean, 20-point Tyler Conklin continues to come through. He's helping Zach Wilson out when he comes back. I'm not sure if Breece Hall is, but Michael Carter's decent enough, especially catching the ball, and they've got a bevy of receivers. I mean, even Corey Davis, besides the young guys that they've got, Wilson and Moore. So I think Wilson and Mariota are – I'm throwing the same bid on both of them and then just taking whichever one I get. But I probably favor Wilson just a hair.
Yeah. And that's fair enough. I mean, I'm assuming Garoppolo and Goff and those guys aren't in the conversation.
No interest in Garoppolo.
But anything else at quarterback, just in general, that you think could be worth adding in off the waiver wire?
No, I don't think so. I think those guys are it.
At running back, I think we already hit on Khalil Herbert, talked about what he was worth a bit earlier. Again, just resetting that, obviously. Here's a guy you're going to go pretty heavy on, depending on how running back needy you are. Obviously, if you have Montgomery, it becomes more of a priority. Outside of him, James, some running back names out there. I think one of interest that we should discuss out of the gate, because I see him out there doing warm-ups, and it won't be too much longer probably before he's out there doing some stuff and in the games. That's Brian Robinson with the Commanders.
Yeah, I mean, if Brian Robinson's available, he's certainly a player to go ahead and scoop up soon because he's out next week. and you would expect he'll be back the week after, and they don't have a run presence. Gibson, McKissick, whatever, they can do what they do in the passing game, but they don't have a run presence. He'll immediately become their goal line back. So I'm with you there. You know, if Jamal Williams happens to show his face on your waiver wire, I scoop him up too. And like I said, Ty Chandler, if you're in crazy deep leagues, in case the Madison thing doesn't work out, but I think Cook may well be back.
Clearly, we're assuming Madison's already out there on elite teams. Jamal Williams, the top added player, I would think. Just some other really deeper names at the position. There really aren't any, I think, that are must bid ons this week. It'd be more about just trying to get that next player up in the mix. So I think that's pretty good there at the position. At receiver, definitely some names. I know one that I was really happy to see have a nice game was Romeo Doubs with Sammy Watkins out. I mean, he definitely got in the action, delivered some elite level results this week. He would be my top priority on the list. James, of course, on my cut bait segment on Saturday's SiriusXM show, I was cutting bait on Devontae Parker. I might have gone back and picked him up, but now they're going back to Hoyer at quarterback. So I will continue to cut bait on Devontae Parker. Your thoughts on some free agent wideouts and maybe even some tight ends that might be out in play?
There's not a ton from the wide receiver position. I mean, at this point, we know what's going on with Dortch, but he's done it again. So I suppose Dortch is a player that what his value will be after week six when Hopkins is back, I don't know. Mac Hollins had a nice game. I can't imagine, you know, we're talking very deep leagues, but in the absence of one Hunter Renfrow in a close game, Mac Hollins was a difference maker. I don't know
if somehow Tyler Conklin didn't get picked up yet.
Thank you.
Go get him because he's still available in over half the leagues at Yahoo right now, dude.
It's as if people don't know he's 20-point Tyler now.
I know.
I don't care if it's all fourth quarter garbage time, which it mostly was this week. He still had 8 for 85, I think.
8 for 85 is pretty solid. David Njoku, a guy that had a big game last week out there in some waiver wires. I've been higher on Njoku this whole summer than you. I know part of yours was the Watson situation, but yeah, I still like him. I think he's a guy that could be a top 15 tight end.
If he gets used, absolutely. And he's a willing run blocker, so don't be surprised to see him get his way into some of those play action, you know, third and goal from the two type touchdown catches too. He's a willing physical blocker. I wasn't sold on him for sure. I still don't know if I'm sold on the game plan from a week to week basis, but he was highly involved Thursday.
Some streaming defenses to consider this week. I mean, obviously a lot of different defenses out there. Anything that, I mean, we're all assuming the Eagles aren't out there and some of these big level Ds, but sure. any that you are looking at and like, all right, this could be a sneaky play.
I cut the Colts. Maybe some other people did. If you want a sneaky play, it's got to be the Lions against the Seahawks. I don't care what Geno Smith did at home last week.
That total went from 46 open to 50, which I think has to be more about Detroit, but I mean, that seems high.
I guess they just really like Jamal Williams.
I think the Giants against the Bears, I mean, assuming they're still out there, they're pretty good defense. The Bears suck. Going against them any week is a good thing.
If anybody has the Packers available, they'll be at home against the Brian Hoyer.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers could still be out there. Of course, I cut them in my one league to pick up the Steelers for last week, and now that looks terrible.
The only other one I would really argue is the Broncos cannot do anything worth a darn on offense, and I imagine the Raiders are very widely available if you're really desperate for a streamer.
Yeah. All right, let's move along. We're going to turn the page to week four. Our first glance, we're doing it a day early again, partly because of this first game we're going to talk about. So we're going to do a little quicker than normal just because it's a little early in our thought processes. These literally are real-time first takes. And James, I know you're looking forward to going to the big dinner on Wednesday night when the big Willie Anderson gets retired there in the Ring of Honor.
Wait.
Isaac Curtis, of course, another Bengal legend here. But Thursday night football will both be there. Looking forward to it. The Bengals currently a 3-point favorite in this contest versus the undefeated Dolphins. The total's at 47.5. And I am a bit concerned about DJ Reader, what that can mean for that defense. But, James, I'm a little surprised the Bengals are laying the 3 here. I mean, that's your home field advantage, so it's basically a pick 'em if you take it off that home field advantage off the line, which, I mean, the way Miami's looked, I mean, in my mind, they're coming in as the favorite. in terms of the way they're playing. This is a big opportunity here for the Bengals to reverse their fortunes. But just from a fantasy perspective alone, I mean, who are you really like in this contest?
Just so you know, when I looked at this line earlier today, I thought it was the Dolphins favored by 3. And when you said that, I'm like, oh, you're misspeaking. And I was like, no, I misread it earlier because I expected the Dolphins to be favored too. From a fantasy perspective, you're going to play Jalen Waddle. He's a star. I don't know if you'll play Tua, but you're going to play Tyreek Hill. So again, we get into this conversation if you're going to play two receivers, but not the quarterback. That's odd to me, but I'm no thank you to Gesicki. No thank you to any running backs from Miami. I guess you're still rolling old Joe Mixon out there if you drafted him, huh? I don't think you can turn to Tyler Boyd. I think it's Chase and Burrow and Higgins. But if you're like desperately deep, you could turn to Boyd. Saw what he did this week.
The way Miami put pressure on Josh Allen yesterday. The one thing they won't have working for him in this contest is that 90 degree humidity taking the people out of it. They're going to have to come up here and play in the chill of the fall night that is becoming. So I'm just looking forward to it. Let's move along, though. Lots of games to get to, including, oh, it's my favorite, a Sunday 9:30 kickoff. Not. Why do they have to do it to us, James? Why do they have to do it to us?
Because they've got to sell more advertising, Dan.
Yes. The Vikings, the Saints at 9:30 in the morning. Dalvin Cook, the big storyline going into this one for me, James, quite frankly. Dalvin Cook, will he play? Will he not? If he does play hurt, then we get into this situation. It's like, oh, it's going to be all these questions, and it's going to be more about their risk tolerance than ours, and we're going to have a standing point, and then something's going to happen, and Madison's going to blow up, and we're all going to be pissed. On the Saints side, will we see any Alvin Kamara production? Because I'm starting to think it isn't coming. And to be honest, if he has a big game at this point, I would start shopping him.
I'll agree with that. The only thing I'll add to that game is Justin Jefferson. If he gets shut down or quieted again, that'll be 3 weeks in a row. There's no way you're sitting him, but we know this is a tough matchup.
A slew of Sunday 1 o'clock games, Cleveland at Atlanta, the Browns -2.5, the Falcons at 48. We got Buffalo -1 at Buffalo, at Baltimore. That is now up to 3.5, Buffalo's favorite, 52.5 there. Let's start talk about these two games. We'll start with the good one. The Bills and the Ravens. This is a huge game in the early AFC playoff picture here, James. How do you think it's going to unfold, especially after what we saw last week?
I mean, I feel like the Bills, obviously, they'll have that little advantage of the chip on their shoulder coming off the loss. This is going to be an astounding game. Two quarterbacks that are going to put up just lightning numbers have done so all year. So, I mean,
even so, I can't go over 52.5. I mean, I'm not betting the over. I'm not saying I'm betting against it, but it's so many points. I mean, both teams have to get into the 30s almost.
27, 24. What does that get you to?
51.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason I say that, I lost on 52.5 this past week with the Lions and the Vikings getting to 52. And I'm like, damn, that game went as I expected.
That game looked close. Same with Seattle.
52.5 is a hook. It is just a bad number. That's the only reason. But I'm with you. This is a fantasy force. It's going to be really interesting. Can these extra pieces have the big games we need? Can the Gabe Davises of the world produce? Can the Rashad Batemans hit? Because they're not, the reason they're wide receiver twos instead of wide receiver ones, because they put up stat lines like they did this week.
I think you're trusting both of them in this game.
J.K. Yeah. Dobbins is back. Maybe we get a look at that. I'm not trusting that till it develops. So
nope.
The only thing I really do trust is Lamar and Mark Andrews, and that is very trustworthy. Cleveland and Atlanta, not as much time on this one. The Browns got lucky last week. It is Nick Chubb time. He's going to run for probably 100 yards, get another touchdown, and still won't have a catch. Will Kareem Hunt actually score on any of those goal line opportunities? I mean, that's it. Amari Cooper, at this point, James, is a must start, including in this matchup.
Yeah, and I would say so is London on the other side. I don't know that Patterson fits that bill, but London as a receiver is too.
What about your boy Cordero Patterson? We kept talking about, keep following me, I'll keep taking him.
Obviously he was very good again last week in a expected high point game. I don't know if I'll expect as much this week, but I think you turn to him in most instances.
We've got Washington and Dallas is a big one here brewing in the NFC East. The Commanders especially, James, starting to lose a little bit of that fizzle, and it's only week 4.
This is more or less a game for the loser has got a lot of work to make up. And if fantasy wise, I mean, Wentz is a buy situation. I think he's probably still playing McLaurin. He backdoored his way to a decent game.
Yeah. I think so too. We'll see. Will Michael Gallup come back this week? We thought we were going to see him in Monday night's game, but that will obviously give a lift to the offense. Let's talk about Seattle Detroit, the big 50 point total here. The Lions favored by 6, and man, the Lions, they seem to be just on the verge of something special. I think they sort of blew that game in week 3. They've got to get this one at home versus the Seahawks. And the question is, James, am I going to pick it as my survivor pick? Because I am thinking about it right now.
I have a good history with the Lions winning in Survivor. Not that I picked them, but them beating other people who picked the opponents. So I don't know. I do think this will be another high-scoring game. I mean, gosh, in Superflex, you could probably turn to Geno Smith. That's how high-scoring game this will be.
Yeah, Herbert -6 at Houston right now. I think this all basically is going to boil down. Can he play through it again? And I mean, at this point, their offensive linemen are dropping like flies. My Chargers Super Bowl pick still looking better than my 49ers Super Bowl pick, but they're both looking pretty terrible right now.
Yeah, those casinos look pretty for a reason. Yeah, the loss of Slater at left tackle for the Chargers is giant. And with a quarterback coming off of a busted rib.
Already down your all-pro center.
Yeah, this is significant.
Yeah. Even your Austin Eckler shares are getting scary at this point. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Tennessee at Indianapolis. The Colts coming off a big win, as were the Titans here. And it's a -3 spread, 42.5. And James, this very well could be to see who's going to be able to keep up in second place with those Jaguars.
I think it absolutely is. And I think this is a game where both teams will try to do the exact same thing to the other, impose their will with the run game. Certainly you'll play Pittman too, assuming he gets back out there. But I mean, my fantasy likes here, you know, is those two running backs. That's about it.
Elsewhere, 1 o'clock, the Giants are laying 3 to the Bears. The total's 39 there. The Eagles, a 6.5-point favorite versus Jacksonville at 48. That will be one of our big marquee matchups on this Saturday show. Can't wait to dive into that deeper. And we got the Jets and the Steelers. The Steelers, -3.5, a total at 41.5. Before 3 big 4 o'clock games, let's hit on these 4 o'clocks real quick here, James. Arizona, Carolina, the Panthers -1 at home here. The total's at 44. McCaffrey hasn't been terrible, just hasn't been elite. And Baker Mayfield, I mean, it looks a lot like Sam Darnold almost.
Yeah, maybe will the taller quarterback prevail here?
Arizona, your thoughts on what that offense is looking like here? And I mean, I guess they're the favorite here, but I don't love it.
Their offense looks like garbage, but the reality is Kyler Murray's going to throw the ball 70 times. What was it, 59 last week? I mean, at that point, you're going to be able to trust Ertz and Hollywood Brown on target volume alone. And this week, I think you trust Dortch again. I mean, look, I just don't believe in that Cardinals run game. You know, I have no shares of James Conner. The only run game share I had was Darrell Williams with the very last pick of a draft.
Yeah.
So I don't like that offense, but I think you'll get fantasy yards from those receivers or receiving options.
New England and Green Bay, the Packers are now laying 10.5, but it isn't even a 40 total. So it's very rare you see a line above 10 with the under 40. That just tells you how little the odds makers are expecting out of the Packers at Lambeau. Or excuse me, the Patriots, I should say, at Lambeau. The Packers, on the other hand, really, I mean, yeah, you're going to roll the running game out. I think we're looking at Dobbs as an option here. Obviously, Lazard, I guess, if you need him. But, James, in 1QB leagues, I'm not so sure Aaron Rodgers is a startable advice again this week.
He'll throw those stupid little dump offs to Aaron Jones.
He'll be okay, but is he top 10? I wouldn't. I mean,
he doesn't have the ups. He doesn't have like top 5 upside.
He's not going to need to throw for 350 and 3.
This is AJ Dillon. Get me over my 4.5 touchdown prop.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Denver at Las Vegas, -2 for the Raiders. 44 is the total. The way Denver looked, Russell Wilson is done, dude.
Team stinks.
He is done. They can't figure out that Javonte Williams is dynamic. They run all the way downfield with Williams. Then they bring in Gordon and Boone, and they fucking don't barely get a field goal.
You could hear how excited you were for me to have Melvin Gordon on my bench in a matchup where you had Javonte Williams this past week.
Well, I mean, it's just stupidity. I mean,
I don't disagree. I mean, I did a a show. I jumped on with Rick Kamala on the Better Network a couple of Mondays ago, or it was last Monday. And he's like, dude, this is the 32nd best coach in the league. There's no question about it. And it didn't look any better this week, even though they pulled off a 1-point win.
It's brutal. And this game is just brutal. Yes. But it's the best of the 4 o'clocks. I'll take the Raiders and hope it works at home based off how bad I think Denver's coach is.
Yeah.
KC at Tampa Bay, the total went from 52.5 down to 44. I mean, you're going to roll out your Chiefs. Temper your expectations against that tough Bucs D. Question is Leonard Fournette going to get an uptick? Because obviously with Mike Evans back, it's going to get a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you say roll out your Chiefs. I don't know if I'm rolling out Juju. He was on my bench this week.
About Mahomes and Kelsey specifically.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think Evans is fine. And yeah, Fournette, the offense will look better.
44, it's falling far enough. I'm sort of tempted to bet this with Evans coming back at 44. I mean, that's not a lot of points. 24-20 gets you there.
The Chiefs put up 17 and the Bucks put up 12 this week.
Yeah, I know. That's why it's as low as it is. But
I get it.
I think those are more anomalies myself.
A bit, yeah. But the Bucks offenses look bad. This is a chance for them to rebound.
All right.
They look bad being 2-1.
Monday night, the Rams and the Niners. We know the Rams, you know, this is a team that has had trouble in some of these matchups, but you got to like them here right now. But it's in San Fran, James, so you never know.
The Rams will be fine. They're used to not playing home games at their home place. Plenty of people go to the Niners game as well. That's from what I've talked to Niners fans, that's like the elite. Those tickets are so expensive that it's not real Niners fans anyway.
All right, let's wrap it up. We do it every week here, talking some Thrive Fantasy. And go over to Thrive Fantasy, check out their big contest every single week. Here on the show, we always highlight their big takeaway, the guaranteed big prize contest. And for week 4, it's $25, $125,000 prize pool, $25,000 guaranteed. If you go over, use the promo code FANTISTICS, you can get that 100% deposit bonus match. And we definitely have enjoyed the props. You can also check out their prop shop over there and just bet straight props that you don't have to get in these main slates. But James, I'm on a roll against you, man. The only thing I won this week, I think, was this matchup against you. I think I lost everything else, but
I laid an egg in my 10-pick contest, too.
Oh, man.
I had a lot of, like, I was a half a yard shy from 2 different props, too.
I mean, I had DeAndre Swift. I feel like he may have got hurt. He barely missed the 67.5 rushing yards, receiving yards. But I did get my Travis Kelce pick, right? I lost on A.J. Brown. He had a big game, but he came up a half a catch shy of the 6.5 receptions. Derek Carr, I got right on my ice pick. So I went 2-2, but I only accumulated the 95 points for Travis Kelce. You went 0-3, bro. You lost out on the chase. 81.5 receiving yards. You didn't even
get close. Not even close.
McCaffrey got to the Century Club. You had him under 70.5 rushing yards. And you missed by a half a yard on Stephon Diggs. He finished with 74 yards receiving. He had 74.5. Your ice pick of Mahomes was correct. Unfortunately, he didn't get those points because he didn't need it. So after 3 weeks, I now lead 625 to 315, dude.
Not surprising.
Yeah, you're starting to feel it a little bit. But that gives me first pick, right? That gives me first pick here. And now comes the tough decision. I'm going to go, because I just hate everything about the Seahawks anyway, I'm going to start with Tyler Lockett, and I'm going to go under 5.5 receptions for 95 points.
I can get with it. I think the ball's going to be thrown around a lot. So that's,
but you got to get six dicey catches. Tyler Lockett doesn't do that a lot.
You're right. He's a deep ball guy. I can get with it. I'm going to go. Look, I'm looking at Justin Herbert. It's the first prop they're offering. 275.5 total passing yards. And I'm getting 105 points for the under. And I'm going that way. Why am I going that way? Because you've got a banged up quarterback. This Houston team, I'm sorry, just isn't that good. It's on the road. You should be able to go and impose your will. And whether it's Xander Horvath in front of Sonny Michel or whether it's Austin Eckler, you should not need to throw the ball that much. Plus, I mean, do we even know if Keenan Allen will be back next week? So I'll take the under on this.
Yeah. All right. We'll go with that. Herbert under there. I'm going to ride the hot hand here, James. I like the 105 points they're tempting me with, and I'm going to go over 302 passing plus rushing yards on Jalen Hurts because – I mean, dude, he's fantasy gold right now. So the fact I'm getting more than 100 points to go on his over is why this probably is a terrible bet. But, man, Washington, this Commander's D, I mean, what are they? I mean, I'm not scared. I think that's worth the value. I got a little bit of a lead here. We'll get aggressive and go with a little bit of a longer shot.
And so I'm going to be probably too conservative, but I like the 90 points I'm being offered here. And I'm taking a peek at, there we go. Deontay Johnson, 62.5 total receiving yards. Now, I expect he'll see some targets, but I assume it's going to be Mitch Trubisky again. We got that idea. He stinks. They're not moving the ball much. If it's Sauce Gardner on Deontay Johnson like it was on Jamar Chase, who didn't even get over 30 yards, maybe I'll learn from my mistake last week. Give me under. It's 90 points, 62.5 receiving yards.
Under it is, and we're going a lot of unders here. Three of our four picks so far have been unders.
I bet. Well, how my overs weren't good last
week. I'm about
week.
To go another under because I think all Carson right. Wentz. I mean, this Washington-Dallas game, I don't know. The total is only 42.5. They're saying Wentz at 20. I'm going to go under 23.5 completions. He's got 24 completions isn't a give me, especially in a game with that low of a total.
He had three at halftime this week, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. It's 115 points.
I like it. I agree with you.
Under 23.5 completion, 115 points.
I agree with you. I'm searching for my final one. I am going to take a chance on this one. This seems so foolish, but I'm going to go ahead and take a chance on it. It's 115 points. Arizona stinks. DJ Moore, 5.5 total receptions. Don't they force feed him here? 115, I'm going over. I know it's foolish.
I mean, a guy you
don't
just...
Don't they force feed him here?
You just crushed like 10 minutes ago.
I have bad vibes for him. I have bad vibes for his midget quarterback, too. Yeah. But all the same, I like... Look, so me and Skeeter have talked about game theory in this, and like, so maybe this should be more about my picking 10 picks against the entire field and not just picking against you straight head-to-head. But this is one of those picks where you're like, you're getting the juice at 115 points, and DJ Moore, a PPR monster. I'm just hoping Carolina doesn't score on defense again.
My ice pick's going to be Mahomes on the over. I'm going to go over 2.5 passing touchdowns plus interceptions against those Bucks.
I'm tempted to ice pick that Juju Smith-Schuster one at 125 points. What the heck? I'm going to play it in my
contest. You might need an ice pick with Herbert, dude.
All right, well, then let's just do it. Let's do it right here and good. I'm going to go Juju Smith-Schuster. I talked about that passing game and Tampa Bay shutting down the passing game. They more or less did at the Rodgers after the first quarter. And Juju's been hot and cold. The total small, 42.5 total yards. I'm going to go under as my ice pick for 125 points.
There you have it. Go get your own picks and go over to Thrive and play. It's thrivefantasy.com. Use the promo code Fantastics. Be sure to catch myself and James. We'll be there Saturday mornings over on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with Fantastics Insider Football, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast wherever you listen, including Spotify, Google Play, and, of course, Apple, InsiderFootball.com, our website. And James, any final thoughts on week four in general, and especially this Thursday night game we're going to be attending?
I would like to apologize right now to Darius Rucker because this week the Dolphins will make him cry.
Oh, my goodness. Look at it. I wish we could just play the theme of the song coming out here, but we can't.
There's a commercial running with that song in it, too.
Should be a good one, dude. Should be a good one. All right, well, go get those waiver wires set. Be sure to catch us later this weekend. And once again, thanks for listening in to another edition of your Fantastics Insider Football Podcast.